This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning to first Friday of March. Oh no, I got the wrong mic.
Don't do that.
What?
Don't do that thing that you criticize Gareth for when he talks about dates and can you believe it's
no,
March?
I can believe it. I'm trying to be opening with positivity, my buddy. And then I was about to go into a first Thursday hangover, but you just killed my thunder. Look at that.
I mean, we can talk about your hangover. That's far more interesting.
No, it's gone now. You've killed my thunder. I'm on the back foot.
You don't get to make fun of Gareth when he references dates, and then when you do the same, like I'm just pointing it out.
It's Friday. I was just saying it's Friday. Who took the jam out of your donut so quickly?
You always make fun of Gareth for like saying
yes, for saying stupid things that
can
are,
you believe it's this or
it's hardly the same thing. Okay, you know what, Belle? Let's start the show over. Because now I have to like make amends. So now you're going to force me to do this.
Okay.
I can't believe you forced me to bumping and grinding to salvage the opening of this show. Okay. Say what you want about R. Kelly, right? bump and grind puts you in a good Friday mood.
Listen, man, it was so catchy. It was, I mean, back then, because when was his 90s? Back then, it was just scandalous with him gyrating on stage and having half-naked girls next to him doing the same. Scandal.
Just think, like, I know dancing in the beginning was primarily for white people, so it was really bad. And then everyone was allowed to party through the ages. But who bent their knees first to lower themselves in a seductive manner? I want to know who this person is, because they changed dancing forever.
Tough question.
Dancing started with people literally grabbing men and women each other at, like, sort of sternum height. And they would waltz and they would do kind of crap like that.
Yes.
Look, I'm no expert of dance. So I'm making stuff as I go along.
Well, it was very rigid, I think is what you're saying.
There we go. That's what I was looking for there. Very rigid. There was no seduction. There was no sex. It seems a fun thing to do.
It kind of looked a little robotic and mechanical.
I mean, you imagine Downton Abbey. It's like Lady Mary comes in. Right. We've had a skin full of gin. Let's bump and grind. Oh, Lady Mary, you scandalous hoe. You bet your ass I am.
Also, I think the only kind of contact they were allowed to have back then was literally just touching hands.
Yeah, well, basically on the small of your back was a no-no.
Oh, no. How dare you?
You were thrown out. You were stripped of your title. That was it. Your house is in shame. So I hope your Friday gets off to a bump and grind. It's been a good week. It was a short week for me because I had Monday off. And it's amazing how quickly those things do fast. To Gareth's immense lack of time acknowledgement. You make a four-day week, it makes such a massive difference. So I'm actually feeling pretty fresh going to Friday for a change.
So maybe four-day weeks are the way to go.
Well, I've been saying this for quite some time now. I mean, if you can be really productive. And I mean, we all have different jobs, I know this. But if we can be productive in four, we can enjoy 3 days off. A lot of us sit on our ass for five. We don't need that fifth day.
Well, I'm not going to protest to any of what you're saying right now.
Well, there that's good, because you started off protesting to what I had to say.
Well, I was just reminding you. There are a number of countries that have four-day weeks. They get along just fine.
Yep, so I'm sure they do.
It's not impossible.
Here's a message someone sent to us at 10 to 3 this morning. I think we wake up early. You guys are the reason I get up in the morning. You are the wind beneath my wings, the milk in my coffee, the salt in my stew. One day I'll phone you. I'll have to wake up at two, drunk or sober, I will phone you. My deepest love and affection. Karu from Nufalani?
No.
Newfoundland? Newfoundland. Okay, I should probably just read the English in the brackets. You know, buddy, the next time Garrett's... The next time Garrett's late or whatever his story is, you can try to read these messages. They come at you like... It's like in your blind spot of life. We know the spelling's not great.
You know what?
Newfoundland. There we go.
I will read some of those messages because it you do make it seem like it's a kind of mission, like a... secret operative mission that you need to get through.
It's like we do an eye test when you get a driver's license and they say, right, tell us which way the M is pointing. That's pretty much what these messages are to me. That's what it feels like.
Oh, shame.
But yeah, it is Friday. Gareth will be here shortly. I'm very excited about that. So as you know, I love YouTube. Mm-hmm. Love it. I love it more and more. So the most followed person on YouTube is a guy called PewDiePie. We've spoken about him before. 61 million followers. So that's all he does. He has like this room. He broadcasts all kinds of things. And every single day he puts a video out. And his videos are like 10 to 20 minutes. I mean, they're quite long. But the dude cuts everything. So, you know, Amy Schumer she's often in the news for the wrong reasons. She's seen as like a joke stealer, pretty unfunny, just says vagina a lot.
Oh, is she seen as a joke stealer? I mean, I've just never thought she's funny, but I don't really know much about her.
Well, she also claims basically that, you know, when people knock on her, it's because they hate women, not because she's unfunny. It's just because they hate women.
Okay.
So PewDiePie this week put out a video. It's 15 minutes long, so obviously in your own time. But there are snippets like this guy. He reminds me of a real-life South Park character. He's like Eric Cartman rolled up with like a whole bunch of other comedians. He's just a very strange, originally Swedish guy, now living in England. But there's a reason why he's got the most followers on YouTube. I mean, the guy puts a lot of he's got obviously his staff, he's got production values, but he just cuts into topics. There's this other great video about how he pulls the piss out of this thing called BitConnect, which was this Ponzi scheme around investing in cryptocurrency funds.
Oh.
It's just brilliant what he does because his style is so off the wall. Anyway, here he is talking about Amy Schumer. And I got to say, you must go onto his channel and watch the full video.
I saw Amy Schumer. I was introduced to her maybe 5 years ago before she really blew up. And she really wasn't as intolerable as she is today. What happened? Let's explore. It all started when Amy got accused for stealing jokes. Not just once, but many times. At least a couple.
You ever black out when you're drinking, or is that a guy called David Tell? Travel? Yeah.
Has anyone ever blacked out and been awake when they've come out of it? Thank you. Thank you, sister. It's kind of cool because it's like you're a time traveler. You're just like... back in your body, like...
Because balls are disgusting, aren't they? Wow. And they stink. Yeah, they do. All right, I'll speak for my balls. On my best day, my balls might smell like a foot. On my best day.
My pussy smells like a small barnyard animal. Okay?
You want to hear the same jokes from other comedians being told in a less funny way? Just watch Amy Schumer, everyone.
But it gets kind of bad because then she's on Ellen.
She literally steals a joke from Ellen DeGeneres and then tells it to Ellen DeGeneres. It's absolutely brilliant. Let's watch.
I look like I've been feeding and I'm eating popcorn the way I think we all eat popcorn, which is... You know, at first, don't you always kind of start out kind of like lying to yourself? Like, oh, a little hot in here. Like one piece at a time, you know, and then like you get a little more real, right? And then eventually you just like, you get real and it's just, gah!
And something about the darkness, we just lose all of our inhibitions in the darkness. Is the popcorn really that delicious? We must shovel handfuls of it into our mouth.
Do you eat popcorn like that, though? Are you a popcorn lover?
When she was growing,
she's asking Ellen, but basically...
Okay. This is awkward.
So I never thought Amy Schumer was... was important enough to having a feeling about it, whether it's a like or dislike or anything like that.
Right.
But you see her pop up quite a lot. And then the way this video really cuts into her performances, and again, like I said, it's 15 minutes, so I'm not going to go into it. Morning, Gareth.
Hey, morning. Sorry I'm late.
No worries. It's Friday.
Stuck in some traffic.
So I now get why people hate on Amy Schumer. But ultimately, if you don't like Amy Schumer, it's because you don't like women. That's the...
Is that what she says?
Well, that's the general takeout from her fans.
Yeah, I don't get that. It's like when someone says, you know, I remember talking to a comedian about this, and they're like, yeah, it's very hard for comedians to get into, like, hosting gigs or, you know, emceeing stuff. And I thought that was odd because I know lots of comedians who do that. What he meant was him.
Yeah.
But he always brings himself into a group. Well, not always, but in this case he did. And he's a cool guy. He's actually a friend of mine, but we had a conversation about this afterwards. And I said to him, why do you, when things do go your way, you own it. It's yours, right? It's like your success. And you deserve to. I've done this. I've made it happen. Mm. You might have had people along the way you must thank, but it's your thing. And when it doesn't go your way, suddenly you're part of a group of people who are dispossessed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Suddenly there's the man trying to keep you out. And no one's trying to keep anyone out. I mean, I don't know when last you went to the men meeting where we decided Amy Schumer shouldn't be allowed through.
Gareth, I've been
so busy.
You weren't
allowed to that because you're a woman, but we had a man meeting. So all the men in the whole world got together and we decided, you know what we're going to do is we're going to keep Amy Schumer out.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And that's where this all started. So, I mean, it's time for me to open up and admit it. And that's the truth.
Well,
like people build these demons in their heads.
I have nothing to contribute to a man meeting. Now, the black meeting, however, that's
an entire... What did you guys decide?
No, we're still in discussions.
Okay. Did you go to the St. George's Hotel for the black meeting too?
No.
This is big. They can't all fit.
That's an entirely different meeting altogether, Ben. But not to defend Amy or anything, but a lot of comedians get accused of stealing jokes.
Well, this isn't what I also wanted to discuss because every now and again... Like, do you not feel that sometimes no one has a monopoly of good ideas or life things? Because we are quite simple, ultimately. So we will stumble upon things that are similar to each other.
That was one of the biggest critics that Trevor Noah had to face at some stage in his career, was everyone, certainly all the comedians in this country would say, well, that one, we all know how he makes people laugh. So
yeah.
I think most comedians have been accused of stealing a joke or two at some point in their career.
I was listening on a related topic. I was listening to Timothy Maurice's Brain and Brand show, which is really just fantastic. If you haven't listened to it before, got to recommend it. You know, I don't listen to our stuff because it's homework. I listen to it because it's really interesting in terms of just bringing a perspective on things. He was interviewing Loyiso Gola, and Loyiso was talking about, remember when Casper Nyovest said that he was upset that Pharrell was doing that thing with Woolworths?
Okay.
Because Casper Nyovest wanted to do like that level of corporate endorsement stuff. And it was all about, what about me?
Okay, so he was upset that they picked a Pharrell over a Casper Nyovest.
Right, but he doesn't know, as Loyiso said, what was going on in that meeting. He doesn't know what their strategy was. He didn't know what their long-term plan was. And when Woolworths and Casper Nyovest and Pharrell sat down with each other, he wasn't in the room. But somehow he feels like something was taken away from him that was never his to have.
Exactly.
And I've sometimes felt like, I mean, I'll admit that. I've sometimes felt like that too. I'll see people kind of using the same people in advertising over and over again. And I'm wondering, well, why aren't they using us? Mm. You know, and you take it personally. You suddenly think, oh, well, it's a conspiracy. There's very little of that going on in the world. People don't have time for conspiracies. I can promise you now, there isn't any secret society keeping you out of being successful. They would have kept Musk. They would have kept Gates. They would have kept Buffett out of that society. Those are not guys who fit into society. I mean, Buffett lives in Omaha, Nebraska. This guy was not attending big meetings in New York City before he became rich. He became rich through figuring it out himself. No one helped Bill Gates to join a secret society. No one went up to Elon Musk when he was at Pretoria Boys High and said, no, you know, the rest of these guys are going to be average, but you come with me. I'm going to help you. He went over there and he fucked around for a couple of years and he did some boring jobs. And ultimately, because he individually has genius, he did very well. you might get upset when you hear the story of people like, let me think of good examples in this country, because whenever someone does well in South Africa, you get, if they're white, then it must be because white businesses helped them. If they're black, it's because they've sold out to white business. You know what I mean? There's always some excuse for why they did well and you didn't.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
And where it comes from is this deep-seated kind of me situation where you feel like, oh, it's so unfair, but maybe you just didn't do as many interesting things, you don't know as much, or you're not as driven as that person is.
Well, exactly. You've actually got to work harder than you think in life in every single aspect of it.
So I get annoyed when I hear like Amy Schumer complaining that, and I don't know whether this is exactly what she said, but I've heard this from a ton of people before. No, someone else is keeping me out. It's my success is based on your permission for me to have success, which is ludicrous. This is the freest time for every human being in the world that there ever has been. If you have a talent, an ability, an idea, you can get on the internet now and expose it to a million people. Because if it's good enough, it will get to a million people.
Well, exactly.
That's never been possible before. So anybody who sits in the corner and cries that they're a victim and that, you know, the whole of society is against them is probably just a loser who deserves to be treated like a loser. And Amy Schumer's had a great life. She mustn't complain if it is what she's doing. I'm not saying that because I didn't hear the clip. But if she's complaining about being left out in the cold, well, walk through the door. And Amy Schumer's life is pretty damn good compared to most people on Earth. Mm. It was like that Rose McGowan clip we played the other day. She sees herself as a perpetual victim. No matter what happens in her life, she's had amazing success as an actress. Now, as an actress, you're one of like a billion little girls who grow up wanting to be on TV or on a movie.
You want to perform.
Honey, you made it. You made it. If you still think people are keeping you out, you got demons in your head.
But even then, just grow up here. You know what? This happened to me, I think, in the last 18 months, probably three times, I've been contacted and said, Ben, do you by any chance know a black version of you? As in, they want to use a sports guy for something, but he can't be white. And yeah. I get asked if I can then help them find a black person, a black version of me.
Yeah.
I mean, what do I do? Do I cry? No. You work harder. You go and do more stuff. You get on with stuff.
Yeah, you get on with it.
What am I going to do? Go on a Twitter rant. Someone wants me.
So what other stuff do you watch on YouTube? I'm curious.
Oh, it's just endless. I learn how to do different things. Like, you can type anything you want there. You could probably type in, how do I make a strong cell phone cover for myself? Type that in.
Yeah, you could.
And you'll get a tutorial video. But yeah, the entertainment aspects are just, there's so many. And like, you know, if you want to get current affairs, there's certain people who are doing great vlogs around certain things. So if you want to find backstories about something, you can find people who are actually on the ground doing things. And it's fascinating. And then, like, just basic entertainment stuff.
I was telling Ben the other day, you know, I've got this side interest in inorganic chemistry I have had from when I was at high school. And there's this professor at Nottingham University in the UK. He's got wild grey hair, like a proper mad scientist. And his name is Martin Polyakov. And he does these chemistry videos. He tells you about all the different molecules, compounds, elements, and explains to you why they're useful, dangerous, what they do in the lab, and then shows you. And, I mean, you wouldn't have been able to get that stuff 25 years ago. I know. I tried to look for it. I was going to libraries and taking books out. YouTube now, you can find out about a certain chemical reaction, and there's like 20 people in the world who've done a video version of this and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, there's actually, I think it's as much as 70% or 65% of all YouTube videos are of a teaching manner. So people are dispensing
that many.
People are dispensing information, and that's how a lot of people get big followers, is because people go onto the thing to learn something, and then there's people who basically have monopolized or just done so well. Like, there's a guy called Peter McKinnon. I watch his videos, but he's Canadian, so he gets quite annoying. But this dude, he got over 1 million subscribers, Mubs, in less than a year. Purely because his production values are so good. He loves what he does. He's an incredible photographer, videographer. The guy, he knows everything of how to capture an image. And he travels the world this way he does. And you watch his videos and you learn something.
How do you stop yourself from because, you know, you could start with watching a YouTube video. The next thing you know, it's 3 hours later and you're still watching and you're like, oh shit, what happened to my time?
How do I get out?
Well, that's exactly like saying, well, I started eating chocolate or I started watching the, you know, it's just, you got to be disciplined about everything in life. But yeah, I mean, that's what YouTube wants. They want you to just fall into one of these wormholes and
yeah,
then you're done.
Yeah.
But I've been in that wormhole.
But I'm also finding now,
until your phone battery runs out or you pass out because you're exhausted.
I'm finding now there's more and more sports stuff is popping up now because broadcasters and people are becoming a bit more sort of casual with rights. I'm not saying it's illegal, but they're trying so hard to get new audiences. They've got to put stuff out on YouTube. So whereas in the past you would see some guy filming his TV for like a Champions League game, whatever, there's now various highlights packages that go out. So Super Rugby on a Monday morning, if I haven't seen Super Rugby of the weekend, which is often the case because a lot of it is boring, mm-hmm. there's actually a package that gets put out by Sanzar, the owner of Super Rugby, and there it is, HD performance package right there.
Beautiful.
So whatever your interests are, just do random searches into that top bar. It's just it's changed the way I view entertainment.
All right, it's time for us to get to the five things you need to know today. Shall we go straight into that?
Well, I guess so, Gareth. It's Friday, and it's 6:30, and we're all here. So,
all right, let's hand over to Mubs. What do you got for us? What can you tell us today? Speak about informing the world.
Former ANC presidents, including Thabo Mbeki, Jacob Zuma, and Halima Motlanthe, will be roped in at Luthuli House, reportedly to assist the governing party ahead of the 2019 general elections. This was revealed by the ANC Secretary General, Ace Magashule, yesterday. Back in December, when the party had its elective conference, they resolved to deploy more staff on a full-time basis at its headquarters in Johannesburg. So this seems to be the next step that they're taking, is getting the assistance from former presidents. Obviously, some people saying, ah, why did you guys include Jacob Zuma? Well, they did. Okay. On to the next one. Russian President Vladimir Putin, he is getting ready for their country's elections, and he unveiled an array of new nuclear weapons.
Nuclear.
Yesterday, saying that they could hit almost any point in the world and not be intercepted.
Look at my dick. Look how big my dick is.
Congratulations, Vlad. I would love to hear what Kim Jong-un would say to that in response.
Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. I've also got nuclear weapons.
Sure. Can
you imagine this? This is where I get annoyed that I'm a man.
He was speaking weeks before the election. He is expected to win.
Of course, because he's gonna win, who else? Yeah.
Who else is going to beat Vladimir Putin? Putin also said that a nuclear attack on any of Moscow's allies would be regarded as an attack on Russia itself, and would draw an immediate response.
So, all right, so he's been flexing his muscle.
Sure, and if you touch any of Putin's friends, he is coming back to touch you, and not in a nice way.
This is my patch. This is what it is. It's primary school kids. This is my patch over here. If you come here, we're going to beat you up.
So our beleaguered public enterprises minister is no more. Lynn Brown resigned as an ANC MP.
Hands up, anyone's going to miss her. I didn't think so. All right, sorry, Mubs.
Bringing to an end a career of 24 years as a public representative. You'll remember that she was left out of the reshuffled cabinet, which was announced by President Cyril Ramaphosa last week. And yesterday, news came in that, she's decided to step down. She's resigned.
Well, you know what? Good riddance to bad rubbish. And she should still go to jail for having used up so much taxpayers' money for all the wrong reasons, and having overseen, in inverted commas, all the chaos at the state-owned enterprises that we're currently dealing with, that poor Pravin Gordhan has to come in and sort out. You know how much of our money she wasted? Do you know how much of our time she's created trouble for? Do you know how many parliamentary hearings she pitched up late for or didn't pitch up for, and she never brushed her goddamned hair for it either? That woman is a bad and poisonous public servant of the worst kind. She's exactly the sort of public servant we should have less of. And she does huge damage to South Africa and to society. So she should resign. I'm glad she has. She should have done this like 2 years ago already. And then she couldn't have caused the damage that she did. But there she is. And it's not over for you, Lynn. We're coming for you. So get ready.
Well, is she now going to live off her lover's tender?
No, probably.
That's
exactly right. That's one of the things she did that was
good
a bomb.
Money, that.
Oh. Gosh, she has a lover. That just proves you can get anyone in the world has got someone there who loves them. If Lynn Brown could find someone to love her, you'll be fine.
And then in the United States, a 24-year-old man from Massachusetts has been arrested.
Yeah.
This is in relation to a threatening message and a suspicious white powder that had been sent to Donald Trump's son last month.
Oh.
Officials confirming that the letter was opened at Trump Jr.'s New York apartment and that his wife, Vanessa, was taken to hospital as a precaution after opening the envelope. So authorities in Massachusetts saying that they found their man, a 24-year-old guy, and he has been taken into custody.
All right. Very good. I like that they caught those people.
Yeah.
You normally don't track them down. But these days they can find you, right? Okay, so it's Friday. Who's in a good mood?
I am, Gareth. Yes, I am. I just got a beautiful sunrise time lapse.
Oh, nice, Ben.
Have you seen how beautiful it is here in the morning when you get here and it's actually not cloudy?
Well, it's always nicer when rushing to get here through traffic or when you're not rushing to get the show started or worrying about what you have to get done. And we do start early, which I've always loved, because it means that our day begins and, you know, we could maybe be the first person to tell you something that's happening in the world.
Yeah.
But, man, I do envy those people who wake up at 11. You are right. It's beautiful. And now I appreciate it. Now that you've woken me up.
Other than strippers, who wakes up at 11? No.
Well, I just imagine that that's my fantasy.
Okay.
Bitcoin is trading at almost 11,000. There we go. It's just jumped back up to $11,000, which is terrific news for some people. Ethereum is clamoring around $869.38. Ripple at 0.9. Yesterday was around 0.8, so a small improvement, but because it's coming off a low base, it's a big improvement. 0.90, and the rest are all kind of languishing, except Monero has suddenly taken a big upshot to $322 from hanging around in the 280s and 290s for a long while. There's some cryptocurrency news. Let's turn our attention now to Ben, find out what's going on in the world of sport. This is what he's here for. He had another bounce show yesterday, some interesting and quite controversial stuff about Formula One thrown in there. But this
very
morning,
cool show.
Yeah, very, very cool. This morning, what do you got for us?
I have a lot, so I'll be brisk. Rassie Erasmus is the new coach officially of South African rugby. And, well, we knew this. Asosaru Du, they have the worst kept secrets in all of the world. I mean, everything that they break, it's like everyone knew about it months ago. But Graham Joffe, who was the exiled journalist who often just, you know, kind of spreads the dirt around what's happening in SA sport, which is very unpopular. I know that, I think it's the Saru CEO, Mark Alexander, is trying to sue him for defamation of character after something he said about 4 years ago.
Ooh.
Anyway, that's a different story. But the whole thing about Rassie Erasmus taking some supreme and utter control of SA rugby, you know, we've been joking about this the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you call him the Emperor of Saru.
But is it wise? Is it a prudent play to have someone with so much control of SA rugby? Because these guys, they go from one PR mess to another. So let me just preface this by saying, I think Rassie Erasmus will be a fantastic coach for the box. If you look at his pedigree, he's an ex-player. He's a very smart, he's an astute guy. He once had disco lights on top of Bloemfontein Stadium in the purpose of becoming a better attacking team. This guy thinks out of the box. He's a maverick of the game. He's a smart individual rugby mind. Let me just say that because I'll stand by that. And I'm excited about the fact that he will lead SA Rugby. But Graham Joffe sent a tweet out yesterday. 10 things that you won't hear at the press conference today. 10 questions for Rassie. Did you apply for the bot coaching job or was it just offered to you by Saru? Because what happens is you've got to apply because they've got to set it out there and make it very open. Were you able to select your own coaching staff? As you could see, he wasn't able to select his own coaching staff. We've had this before where bot coaches come in and they get kind of thrown around a bit.
Right.
It's one delistic. He was sacked as the bot backline coach in 2017 because he was completely out of his depth. Not because he was crap, it's because he was out of his depth. Did not have any experience in the position, he was thrown in there. Now, Rassie's brought him back. What will his role be? And was he considered among other black coaches? So, you know, is he just seen as, well, okay, that'll be our black coach? Let's not consider people who have merit. Let's just look at that guy. He'll be our black coach. Then we can say we've got a black coach.
Good questions.
Yeah.
Where is Graham Joffe? When are we going to talk to him again?
Yeah, you need to get back in one. Yeah. So, fourth question. You've got a 5-year deal, which gives you an unprecedented 2 World Cups. Do you have a performance clause in that contract?
Yeah.
As you could say, there's no performance clause. Rassie Erasmus, 5 years, you can go to 2 World Cups. I mean, this is weird. Frikkie Erasmus is Rusty's personal lawyer and business partner, along with Saru CEO's Yuri Ru. Frikkie Erasmus is also the Saru lawyer and does all the staff contracts. Did he draw up and negotiate your deal as well? You wouldn't have heard that in the press conference yesterday. Next question. You have an IT company.
That's so incestuous.
You have an IT company with Saru. You own a share in BokPulse, only supplement supplier to the box. Rusty owns this with Yuri Ru and lawyer Frikkie Erasmus. Is this not a conflict of interest? You won't hear that.
Yo.
Next question. So you are now the director of SA Rugby, bot coach, and control all IT outsourcing and development of Saru. Is this not too much on your plate? It was reported in June 2017 you'd be leaving Munster together with your BOC assistant, Jacques Nienaber, who's now the defense coach of the BOC, to come back in 2017. Did you know last year already that you were going to be the new BOC coach? Because there was all this umming and ahhing about, well, we don't know who we're going to replace Alistair Garcia with. Alistair Garcia might carry on. Mm-hmm. You were upset when Alistair Garcia given the job in 2016. Would you have come back to SA if you're not given the BOC coach? And then finally, Mark Keohane, who's a respected rugby journalist and someone I enjoyed the reading, the work of.
Sure.
He said last month already that Rusty's Springboks will beat Eddie Jones' England in next three test series. Do the likes of Keohane get inside info in return for favorable journalism?
Sounds very dodgy.
I don't want to poo-poo what could be a really good moment in SA Rugby finally getting back on track, but it's like, have Saru sort of thought, well, we've actually just got to relinquish all control to this guy because he's cleverer than us and he's obviously got more abilities. But does that not make Saru completely even more useless?
You'd think so. And you know, I spoke earlier about how there aren't secret societies. There might not be secret societies, but there are exclusive clubs like this.
So exclusive clubs. Now, we talk about development. Is there ever going to be like a black coach that's going to come through people take seriously? Now, Rusty's been given Saru, essentially.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
Where's the development going to happen here? Again, I'm happy for Rusty to take the reins, but it just looks like it's just relinquishing this. You do it, so it's not our problem anymore. Doesn't seem like a positive move from an organization.
Very controversial.
But I wish Rusty all the best, and thanks, Graham, for bringing up such interesting questions. In other rugby news, it is a big weekend because we've got the Vegas Sevens. So that'll take place. Okay, it's a bit of a cuck time zone, really, because they're playing in Vegas. But South Africa, they'll be playing Wales. That'll be at 3:34 Saturday morning. They'll then go on to take Canada. Tough group, this, at 6:35. And then the final match will be against England. What kind of group is this? They got all the best teams in one group. They are the defending champions. They've won this thing 4 out of 10 times, I think. They're the most prolific team in Vegas. So that'll be a big thing to watch over the weekend. We've also got no Six Nations this week. They obviously take breaks, these guys. They're a bit soft. So there'll be no Six Nations, but we've got rugby all over the place. Super Rugby this weekend. Blues versus Chiefs, straight up. That's going to be a great game. Blues always exciting, as are the Chiefs. Then we've got an Aussie derby. Then we've got more Aussies. Then we got Crusaders versus Stormers, Saturday morning, 8:35. Crusaders will win this match, but it's always fun to see how the Stormers will capitulate, like they did last week against the Waratahs. Sharks versus the Waratahs at 3:05 on Saturday. The Bulls versus the Lions at 5:15, the Trans-Yorkeske Derby, as it's always hyped. And then if you really like the Hagawadeth, you can see them at 12:20 Saturday night as they take on the Hurricanes at the Estadio José Amalfitani.
That sounds complicated.
Yeah, but I nailed it.
All right, absolutely well done. Nailed it. Well done.
There's obviously a big weekend of football, but I mean, Arsenal, does it get any worse? Does it? I don't think it does. I mean, I know everyone's going, well, there's new lows, but this is it. They were dicked in that Carabao Cup by Man City, and then last night, Man City, like a kitten with a ball of string, played with Arsenal again, 3-0.
Huh.
Yeah, so Man City are now 16 points clear, and, well, it's a matter of time, obviously. Arsenal Wenger, can you just do a Jacob Zuma now? You should have quit a while ago, but it's going from bad to worse. And if nothing else, it's your poor legacy, man. People are going to remember you as the kind of guy who looked like an old Mr. Bean who was really crap at managing a team. You know, you're better than that. Walk away.
No one's going to call him Sir Alex Ferguson when you talk or compare the two.
I mean, like, do you hate your wife that much you don't want to go home? Just stop coaching football now. You've done enough. Arsenal are in the toilet. Someone else should pick up the slack here.
Right, exactly.
Come on, man. Yes. Use the remaining portion of your brain to think.
Yes. Right. Yes, only thing I can agree with on Julius Malema's mouth. So, big games for the English Premier League over the weekend. We'll see Man City versus Chelsea. That's the big one. Sunday at 6. In the Absa Premiership, well, we've got the Soweto Drawby. They'll be taking place Saturday at 3:30. People always make a big noise about that. Other games to look out for tonight. Wits will be taking on Baraka at 8 o'clock. Cape Town City versus Chipper at the same time. And then Sundowns will be the earlier match tonight. It'll be against AmaZulu away at 6 o'clock. And then, crickets.
Aussies are batting. They batted first. They won the toss. The pitch looks a bit difficult to bat on. South Africa has them at 225 for 5 after day one there. Maharaj played all right. And they have actually gone with the 6 batsmen have South Africa because they know that they basically are really shy to the batting department. So Theunis de Bruin will come in. And that means that all 4 bowlers, a lot of pressure on them to get the job done. Maharaj already with 2 wickets there. That is pretty much it for your weekend sport. Big weekend, of course, with golf as well. Louis Oosthuizen is leading at the WGC in Mexico. And then, I've drawn a blank here. So I've got to prep this thing better with actual scoreboards. And the Schwane Open is taking place with Louis Diaga. He's currently in the lead by 1 there as well.
All right.
That's your sport.
Thank you, Ben. A couple of messages that have come in this morning, just to show you that I do get them, because we got a guy yesterday who said we weren't receiving messages or something. Someone says, I'm really sad that Sia hasn't been around to organize guests. Don't worry, he'll be back on Monday and being part of the show. But it has been so nice not having to hear singing. That's a good point, you know? Good day, my name is Faith. I would like to send you a press release. Can I have your email address? Well, you could send Ben at Cliff Central an email.
No,
you could send
Mabale
at Cliff Central an email.
I only check those like once every 2 weeks.
Gareth at Cliff Central. Okay, don't send those
I've
two.
I've never checked Ben
I take
Cliff
it back.
Central.
I've checked, ignore them. Do not worry about mailing them. Mail me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. All right, Faith. And then you guys, the reason I get up in the morning, you're the wind beneath my wings. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah,
the milk in my coffee. All right, good. And let's move on. Is Ben drunk? Did you read that one?
I didn't read that one.
Yes.
I was too busy trying to start the show.
Morning. Happy Friday. I think I'm still drunk after my bachelorette party last night. I'm getting married today. But there will always be a special place in my heart for the Gareth Cliff Show, Kelly. Kelly, ooh, getting married doesn't mean you have to give up on the rest of society and only focus on this one person. So don't you dare leave us. I mean, imagine you put all your eggs in one basket and it breaks.
Ooh. Is it... Should we maybe rethink the whole bachelorette party the day before the wedding?
Oh, that's not good.
Because now you're hungover and you're cranky, yeah, and it's going to be a long day.
But do people do that, or they do it the week before?
Didn't she say that she's...
I know she does, but I mean, maybe she's...
Well, in the
movies,
it's always the week before. But you should actually really do it as you get it engaged, I think. That should be it.
Yeah, not the day before the big day.
No, you got shit to do. There's stuff to organize.
Can you imagine?
Those days are rough for the bride, man. I mean...
And long. It's a long day.
Yeah.
Listen, we've got some amazing things happening this morning. Liz Ogumbo is going to pop by. She, of course, is the host of Fashion Lab here in Cliff Central. She's a well-known and accomplished artist, a musician in her own right. She's also a dress designer. I've been to her house for dinner. This woman can cook. She has an incredible range of clothing. She's just a great, accomplished human being. She really is an all-rounder.
So basically, she's perfect.
She's as close as you're going to get.
I mean, she's a model who can cook, which is unheard of.
Oh, let me tell you. you could have all the most beautiful women in South Africa in a room, and if Liz walks in, everybody turns around and looks. She's that statuesque.
And then leaves because they realize that they're just insignificant.
Well, she's a warm and accommodating kind of person.
Yeah, she is. But
she's going to say to everybody, don't leave, stay.
Yeah, but they'll want to, though, because they'll think, well, that's it.
Yeah, it's over for me. Hey, Ben, you start the show with such animosity, says someone.
Bullshit.
Wow. See, there's that aggression again. Check out YouTube on basic how-to videos, says somebody. There are some pretty weird ones, like how to pick up a chair. And look at how many views they get. Yeah, I always... It blows my mind how we think people are smart, but the things that they're watching on YouTube are so dumb. Like, I understand entertainment or, you know, that kind of thing's for everybody. If you're going onto YouTube to type in how to pick up a chair, yes, you are very basic. You just stopped walking on all fours.
Or what if you are not basic, Gareth, and you're thinking to yourself, I know how to pick up the chair. What could possibly be contained in this video that's going to amaze me? And then you click play to see.
Okay, you win. That makes sense. Total sense. Now I need to see it now. Do not touch Putin on his studio, says Oki. Yeah, that guy. Yo. Ben, talking about conspiracy theories. What if Usain Bolt was involved in Wade Finikek's injury so he doesn't break the 200-meter record? Take that, Ben.
Take what? It's just a stupid idea. His manager made him play touch rugby.
No.
That's not a conspiracy theory.
I don't think Usain Bolt's ever really paid any attention to touch rugby or rugby for that matter.
But thank you.
Yeah, but I think. But the Wade Funicak story gives me pause to reflect. I mean, his whole career is on hold, and possibly he won't get to the level that he was at before because of this injury. It's the kind of thing that could happen to anybody. You know, you might not be some superstar athlete, but if you are not covered from a point of view of health insurance, you are in big trouble. So One Plan have got a motto. They're going to put healthcare back into the hands of the people. They are offering health insurance that is more affordable, and you get to choose what you need when you need it. So with many changes going on in your life and in the world, you need to make sure that your health isn't compromised. For effective health insurance from as little as 330 Rand per month, just SMS the word health to 31644 and One Plan will call you back. That's health to 31644. And when One Plan calls you back, you can ask all the questions to determine the best coverage for you at the best price. I mentioned Liz is coming in. Also, Toby Shapshack's going to make an entrance. And at 7 o'clock, we're going to speak to Ivo Fechter in our burning platform for today, which I promised you yesterday.
He's cool. He's smart. I like his stuff.
Yeah, he writes some amazing stuff. He's a very accomplished writer, and you've probably read one or two of his columns in any one of several publications in which he has been a contributor. So stick around for Ivo Fechter. He'll be joining us just in a short while to do the burning platform. So, burning platform, Toby Shapshack, Liz Ogumbo. It's going to be a hell of a morning. I hope you're ready to have some fun. Are you ready to have some fun, Mubs? What are you doing this weekend?
I've got a baby shower. I'm finally going to see Black Panther.
Oh, and, good.
I think I've got to be responsible for a child or two at some point as well.
That's madness. You?
Well, they're signing up for it.
Is this your brother?
They can't blame me after the fact.
Is this your brother?
No, a cousin of mine.
Okay. Wow. Then my brother knows better than to ask me to look after the kids.
I'm actually a little bit obsessed with my brother's kids. Along just fine.
I'm obsessed with my brother's kids too, but I don't know that I'd be able to look after
them. No, I have all the time in the world for them, actually.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing how they get into your heart, huh?
They just creep in there, and you have no say.
Your heart's a shriveled little raisin, and they manage to get in there. Ugh. Those kids have some talent, I'll tell you what. Anyway, all right, so lots to get stuck into this morning. We take your calls and your WhatsApps and your messages. You know how to get hold of us. Any number of ways. The first way you could do it is WhatsApp a studio, 0797482090. Save that on your phone. You can call us, which is always nice because we get to hear your voice. Because, you know, it's always much more interesting if someone tells you something interesting.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Of course. Makes all the sense in the world.
Yes. And if they only send you a message, you don't know. You're thinking, oh, they sound just like me. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. You're missing out on the most interesting part of that person's character, which is their terrible voice. So I love it when people call us. 0861-555-189. It's one of my favorite things to do. Just pick up the phone and see who's there. Okay, lots to get ready for. Brace yourselves. And get ready for the weekend, too. If you've got awesome plans for the weekend, tell us what they are. That and more on the way.
This is CliffCentral.com.